This is Michael Welch with CKUW, and we're joined on the line by one of the organizers with the group No One Is Illegal. It's Harsha Walia, based out in Vancouver. And so, Harsha, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Conservative Citizenship and Immigration Minister Jason Kenney stated that he is proud of the government's record on immigration and its efforts in reaching the highest levels of immigration of any government in Canadian history. And he stated that the defenders of the status quo opposed efforts to improve the immigration and refugee system, calling for balanced refugee reform and the cutting of backlogs in the skilled worker program. And has stated that overall, the Conservatives have put forward a more generous policy toward legal immigration than any other Canadian government. So I'm wondering if you'd care to share with us your assessment of this government's record on immigration and refugee. What stands out in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, what you have mentioned in terms of the comments that the Harper government and the Minister of Immigration, Jason Kenney, kind of constantly say, which is that under them, Canada has really high rates of immigration, and particularly of legal immigration. These are incredibly misleading statements because the reality is, and the facts on the ground, and you know, these are substantiated by various media reports and CIC's own statistics, is that the kind of immigration that they have increased is temporary foreign workers. And so, as we know, temporary foreign workers are workers who come to Canada, work temporarily in some of the most, the most dangerous jobs, so particularly in the farms and the greenhouses and the construction industry, the kind of work that a lot of Canadians don't want to do. And temporary workers are doing not only dangerous work, but they're exploited because they're temporary workers who can face deportation at any moment because they don't have full legal status. They're exploited by their bosses. Almost all sectors of temporary work are paid less than minimum wage. They work long hours. They aren't covered by basic labor standards, pay into EI but can't get EI. All of, you know, basically a really big pool of exploitable labor. And so this pool of temporary workers is what the Conservatives have been increasing. In fact, under the Conservative government, was the first time where Canada accepted more temporary workers than permanent residents. So this is the kind of model that the Conservatives are talking about of legal migration that is constantly temporary. Mm. And that's what we're seeing. The number of temporary workers is up 30% over the past 4 years. And on the flip side, permanent residents are decreasing. So permanent residents being those coming as refugees, those coming as family class sponsorship, so, you know, sponsored parents or spouses, or skilled workers who come under the, you know, the point system. And so, you know, the permanent residency pool of immigrants is also, of course, you know, that system is flawed, of course, and, you know, as No One Is Legal, we've been organizing against flaws in that system for a very long time. But in particular, under the Conservatives, the number of people coming under those categories, if you will, has steadily decreased under the Conservative government. So the number of refugees granted permanent residence dropped 25% under Jason Kenney. The family class sponsorship has been slashed by about 15%. Grandparents and parents' visas were slashed by 25%. Skilled worker visas all slashed by 20%. So, you know, basically to say that when the Conservatives are talking about the immigration record, they're talking about decreasing migration to Canada for people to come as permanent residents with full rights. They're talking about bringing in exploitable labor. That's the model that they're talking about.
You mentioned exploitable labor. I mean, does this have consequences as you see it for other, say, racialized people who maybe have been here a while? I mean, in the sense of, you know, like the perception that here come all these people, they're here only temporarily. I'm wondering what, you know, are we creating a new class of Canadian residents that, you know, maybe like a second tier, if you will?
Well, absolutely. Like I said, workers who come as temporary foreign workers are absolutely exploited. And so they're definitely second-class citizens because they aren't citizens. because they almost can never become citizens because they're, you know, for example, the seasonal agricultural worker programs. You know, you come in for almost 30 years and you can't get status. You're permanently temporary. So absolutely, it also creates, this pool of exploitable labor creates a race to the bottom, if you will. You know, and it pits racialized people against each other. It also pits workers against other workers because this is a group of workers that is extremely exploited. And it breeds this, you know, this really racist sentiment towards migrants because it feeds that idea of, you know, they're stealing Canadian jobs. But the reality is they're not stealing Canadian jobs. It's the legal entrenchment of their exploitation that facilitates the fact that most businesses want temporary workers over workers who have full labor rights. And so absolutely it is, it fuels this divide and conquer feeling.
Harsha, Prime Minister Harper said that if elected, he would push ahead with Bill C-49. Could you maybe explain briefly, what is Bill C-49? It was the human smuggling bill. And why do you think Canadians should be concerned about it?
Well, yes. So Bill C-49 currently died on the table. But the Conservatives have said if they have a majority government, they will push through Bill C-49. And Bill C-49 is, you know, what they call a human smuggling bill. But, you know, and it's couched in this discourse of cracking down on human smuggling, cracking down on law and order, or sort of, you know, cracking down on crime. And there's several things to be worried about with this bill specifically, and then also kind of the broader discourse of cracking down on human smuggling. This bill specifically basically mandates mandatory detention for people who are suspected of using a human smuggler to get into Canada. And that's whether by boat, by train, by airplane, by land, whatever it might be. And this includes women and children. So it mandates, it makes it necessary for detainees to end up in mandatory detention. And this is based on the Australia model, which, you know, actually the Australian High Court struck down as unconstitutional to mandatorily put people behind detention. And also we've seen in Australia that refugees are in revolt. And, you know, there's thousands of people, approximately 7,000 people are in detention in Australia on average for 7 years. And this is the model that Canada wants to implement. And it will make people status probational. And so, you know, basically a really repressive bill. But again, the reason that people have voted for it and supported it is because it feeds into this hype about migrants as quote-unquote criminals by, again, you know, criminalizing the act of migration. And human smuggling is something that's very much couched in this discourse of organized crime, right? When people think of smuggling, they think of smugglers and organized crime. But from a legal perspective, actually, because of the nature of what it means to be a refugee, which means you are fleeing persecution, you can't get visas because that would require you going to the government that you are fleeing from or that you are being persecuted by. The very nature of being a refugee, which is enshrined in both international law as well as Canadian law, recognizes that refugees will often take modes of irregular transportation, so which means that people aren't necessarily going to come with their passports.
That happened a lot during World War II, didn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, the Underground Railroad is an example of quote-unquote human smuggling of World War II. And, you know, the transportation of those fleeing Nazi Germany, you know, there's so many examples of it. But in particular, people think that smuggling are people who come on boats, right? There's this particular idea that boats are illegal. But in fact, many people come irregularly by plane. Or by car. So there's a particular trigger around boats, for example, even though legally there's no difference between a boat and an airplane. And, you know, when we think of MV Sun C, for example, the boat with 492 people, there's this idea that they were trying to sneak their way into Canada. I mean, it's illogical that a boat with 492 people
the Tamils,
sneak
right?
in anywhere. Yeah, the Tamil boat.
Yeah.
You know, 492 people are not going to sneak into anything. That boat was, you know, most likely going to end up at the port, and they'd have to, you know, claim that they had come to claim refugee status. And so the Bill C-49 is really based on hysteria more than anything. It's not actually rooted in any actual law. It's not, if you think through it, it's not rooted in any kind of common sense. But it is very much rooted in a very real public hysteria and racism and xenophobia against migrants. And so the bill has incredibly detrimental impact. Again, it feeds into this broader Harper policy of shutting down the door to refugees and landed immigrants and families, and instead making it more likely to facilitate people as temporary workers. And we have to be clear that Canada, you know, although there's this hysteria of migrants, what Canada wants is not to shut down the door entirely to migration. It just wants immigrants on their own terms, which is vulnerable and exploitable, versus migrants who can come with full rights.
Harsha, do you have any thoughts about the fact that the Conservative government, at least according to some of the media commentators, are actually courting that ethnic vote, as they call it, and that, you know, they seem to be achieving some success, but I don't know if that's your observation, but what do you say that the fact that, like, the points that you're raising, that it does not seem to be deterring voters? So whose failure is that? Is that the media?
Well,
is it the politicians?
I mean, I think it's complicated, and I think there's various things to it. I mean, the one thing is that quote-unquote ethnic voters, which basically means, you know, voters of color who are non-native, you know, they're not only concerned by the issue of immigration. And so I think, you know, one thing that's kind of offensive is this idea that the only thing that immigrant voters are going to be concerned with is immigration, or conversely, that non-immigrant voters, i.e., you know, quote-unquote white Canadian voters, are not concerned with immigration either. And so I think the fact that ethnic voters, if you will, cross the party lines, Conservative, Liberal, NDP, Green, maybe even the Bloc, I don't really know what happens in Quebec around that, but is because, you know, people are individuals. They have various concerns, be it immigration, be it employment, be it social issues, be it poverty, whatever it might be. Quote-unquote ethnic voters are citizens, if you will, in as much as anybody else's. And so, you know, this courting of ethnic voters is a pretty racist phenomenon in many ways, because it presumes that ethnic voters are not Canadian voters like many other people. But at the same time, you know, I do have to say that, you know, the political system is deeply flawed, and, you know, I don't personally believe in the facade of liberal democracy, nor do I believe that the idea of citizenship is what we're actually looking for. We're definitely looking for people to live with full rights in one sense, but on the other hand, you know, we know that once you become a citizen, that the struggle isn't really over. There's so many other barriers to overcome. But definitely I do think the phenomenon of ethnic voters is a racist one. But at the same time, it's not an anomaly that many immigrants may vote Conservative, despite the Conservative record on immigration. One, because the Conservatives lie, and two, because, you know, some people have Conservative values.
Okay, granted. And on that final point, though, I mean, we do have other political parties there, and they did vote against Bill C-49, for instance. Do you have, I mean, I guess you kind of implied it in your question, but you mean with the rise of the NDP, which is billed as the conscience of the commons, do you see any prospects that immigration and refugee policy might change for the better under a new parliamentary arrangement?
I mean, I think there's no doubt that different parties have different records. But I think at a fundamental level, there's always going to be a battle for just migration, because even if one party is, you know, quote unquote better than the other, you know, we're still going to have deportations, we're still going to have detentions, we're still going to have people waiting to reunite with their families. And in fact, you know, it's hard to tell even with the NDP, because not necessarily on immigration, but on, you know, this general kind of law and order portfolio, the NDP is also calling for more prisons. So, you know, on some issues, the parties are the same across the board.
Okay. Well, I'll leave it at that. Harsha Walia, I want to thank you very much for participating in this conversation. And, well, we'll look forward to, you know, hearing from you on more on this front in the future.
Thank you very much.